You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to You Can't Outrun the Fork. I am your host, Brett Bittner. You Can't Outrun the Fork examines healthy eating habits to break you out of the standard American diet and the problems that accompany it. We offer you a perspective on what it means to eat in a healthy manner from a variety of options and how we can fix our health by thinking about food differently. While I have an affinity for the ketogenic diet because it works for me, we will be examining a lot of other healthy eating options. Please be sure to rate and review us in iTunes, like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and subscribe using your favorite podcast catcher. You can always catch the latest shows at can'toutrunthefork.com. We are often taking your questions, comments, show ideas, and suggested guests via email at show@can'toutrunthefork.com. If you are new to the program, we do keep things short compared to other things on the network, usually only lasting about 45 minutes. If this particular episode isn't your cup of tea, I suggest trying some of the others in the feed. This show is for adults interested in avoiding the health issues that plague the standard American diet. However, I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on this podcast. The conversations within are not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, they are a reflection of the experience of the host and guests, unless otherwise noted. Enjoy!
Kids are starving in Japan, so eat it. Just eat it.
Welcome back to You Can't Outrun the Fork. This is episode 8, and I'm very happy to bring a return guest for the first time. For those of you who've listened to episode number 1, which as of right now is our most listened to episode, where we talked about why I adopted a ketogenic diet, and it was mainly me answering a lot of questions for my friend Paul. He's back, and we're going to be talking about his successes. We're going to be talking about some of the slips, and we're going to be talking about some of the things that he's experienced in his first couple months as a fellow ketoer. So I want to welcome back Paul, and man, it's great to see you again.
Thanks. Good to be here. I feel privileged once again to pioneer something on your podcast.
Well, I appreciate that you're here and that you're talking about these things, because I know that there are a lot of things I wish that I had kept up with on my own journey. Mm-hmm. And I know that we talked about in the first episode making sure that you were kind of keeping those things in mind as you went along. And so basically, just tell us about what your first couple of months have been like, the things that you really noticed, and the things that you didn't expect.
Oh, so the entire episode right now, is the question you're asking?
Basically, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the broad thing, and then I'm sure that I'll find some stuff to zero in on.
No. Well, so after we recorded, you know, we had talked about keto before, mm-hmm. and I've been, as I said in the first episode, struggling for a while and looking at different things, and had become enamored with the paleo diet and had tried that, but found that the lifestyle that I have because of the work just didn't work, because paleo requires a lot of meal prep.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's really difficult. And after talking to you about how you're like, hey, I eat out all the time, you know, just got to find things, that was just kind of a kick that I kind of needed. And the next day just went, I'm doing it. I'm just going to start right now.
Yeah.
And so the hard part about that was the first day was on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the two days of the week where I work for 17 hours and typically eat 2 or 3 meals out, just drive through.
Sure.
You know, and on top of that, I wasn't prepared
at
all. I just kind of said, yeah, we're going to do it now. And so the first few days were really interesting because it was so busy. It was the peak of my crazy schedule.
Right.
And trying to figure out how I could change completely the way that I was eating to fit this new keto diet and, you know, do that on a crazy lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so...
Oh, I remember those days when I worked in the theater and how crazy that was. I mean, we used to talk about how you weren't going to be successful as a GM in the company where we both worked together unless you were a really big dude, because every GM in the company at that time was a really big dude.
Yeah, we were. And it's, and if you, I don't know how long, I can't remember how long you were there, but there became a really big health initiative.
Oh, wow. I wasn't there for that.
And that really is kind of the background of even what got me onto paleo, because Brad Wardlow, our VP of ops at that time, got into fitness, and he had posted a link to an article written by a guy named Kevin Geary.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really intrigued by the article. I was like, this makes so much sense. So yeah. I looked up Kevin, and he was just launching his Total Body Makeover program. Total Body Reboot is what it's called. He just getting ready to start his podcast. And so I actually signed up for that and went through that program and saw some success with that.
Nice.
But it was also early in his – he was still developing the program out. I think it was one of those, hey, you know, come try this out, and it's only like $50 for the thing. And now it's – multiple hundreds.
Oh, I'm sure. Because, you know, he's fleshed it out, and there's more to offer, and things that he can put in there.
Absolutely. And I still...
And add that value.
Yeah, and I still listen to his podcast. He's got a lot of great information. I really like what he stands for and what he's, you know, what he talks about. But that's kind of... That laid the foundation for where I'm at now.
Okay.
With this. That opened me up to what you're... Because if I hadn't investigated that, all the stuff that you talk about, I'm like, yeah, he's... Sure. You're just eating bacon, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
I'm looking forward to a nice bacon and eggs later tonight for dinner.
I got complimented this morning on my bacon from the neighbor kid. That's my daughter's best friend. She said very cool. And said it was.
Now, are you a crisp bacon or a floppy bacon guy?
I'm a crisp bacon guy.
Okay.
But my kids are kind of, they don't like it floppy, but they don't like it crisp. They like that perfect. So I've had to really refine my bacon skills. And even this morning I was like, I'm sorry, like the ends are still a little, they're soft. They're not really like, I would want to cook them a little longer. My daughter's like, no, this is exactly
perfect. Nice. So, very cool.
I'm quite the bacon cook, I guess. But no, that first day it was doing things like, I'm just looking through all the nutritional menus at all of the fast food places and going, where's the carb column? You know, and just strictly focused on carbohydrates.
Yeah.
You know, I downloaded my FitnessPal so I could track it and, you know, keep track of those macros. And, like, I think I ended up at Arby's for one meal, and that was just, I just got the giant roast beef sandwich and took the buns and tossed them out and just had roast beef.
Yep.
You know,
I've done that many times, and Arby's sauce is your friend. There are not very many. I think the carb count is negligible.
Really?
So
does he talk about the red
ranch?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I just eat a plain. I'm just meat, man.
Hey,
it's great.
That works for me too.
And that was those early days. What those meals ended up being a lot. It was a lot of protein and a lot of fat.
Yeah.
But that protein was out of balance. What I noticed in those first weeks was, I could never seem to hit the right macro mix.
Yeah.
You know, I was always a little high on the carbohydrates because I was a little high and the fat just wasn't where it needed to be.
Okay.
It was just under.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, we're talking, I was gunning for 74% and I was running at 71%.
Okay. So nothing drastic.
Yeah. Right. And that's just, I'm like, I don't know what the system is, so I want to stick to this as strictly as I can.
Sure.
So, I know on your last episode, I listened to that and, you know, Spangle was talking about the 5% carbs,
right.
And I'm like, five, I only give myself three.
Yeah.
So, you know, I run a really strict regimen. And the other thing that I found is places like Speedway, the gas stations, their refrigerated section where they have the sandwiches and things, they carry cheese sticks.
Yep.
And they carry pepperoni sticks.
Yep.
And they carry, you know, those kinds of things that are really, it's not as difficult as I thought it would be to find stuff that'll at least work.
Right.
So, you know, that was those first days. And the fact that I was successful, you know, for the first 4 days as I battled the keto flu, as I worked two jobs, as I was going through the busy Friday and Saturday nights at the theater and just battling that flu and all of the symptoms and side effects that come along with that.
So what was keto flu like for you? Because when we talked about it, you know, I told you I had so many things going on that I couldn't pinpoint anything as being keto flu.
Right.
Because there was, you know, I was onboarding meds and there was this, that, and the other, and I was withdrawing from caffeine and there was so much going on that I don't really have a good picture that I can share with people about what keto flu is. So in the episodes that I've even broached the subject, as you probably heard when I was talking with Spangle, I really didn't have much to tell him about keto flu other than what I'd heard from other people. So what was it like for you to go through that?
After reading all of the horror stories about keto flu, I was braced for just the worst.
Right.
And it really wasn't that bad.
Okay.
I felt nauseous a lot. And that was probably the hardest thing, was battling the nausea, especially when I'm having to interact with people and try to put that happy face on and all the while just not feeling like I'm going to hold stuff down.
Okay.
But the other side of that is also that I didn't eat a lot. You know, the weight loss that I saw in that first week or two, as I logged it in my Fitness Pal, every day that I'd complete my food diary for that day, about half of them came back and said, "You're not eating enough calories for the day." And so, you know, there wasn't a lot that I had to battle to keep down when I was feeling nauseous.
Sure.
So, because it just, I wasn't, you know, I was eating, but it just wasn't a lot, you know.
Right.
And it was such a change from the huge amounts of food that I was eating leading up to that.
Yeah.
But between the nausea and then the bathroom trips.
Yeah.
You know, when you get hit with that first trip to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the next few days, every time you feel like it could, you know, you're just like, I'll be right back, because you don't know if it's just, you know, gas or what that's going to be like. So,
yeah, I mean, your body is changing significantly as you're kind of going off of sugar as a fuel to fat as a fuel. And so there are a lot of adjustments that take place in there. And in fact, in an upcoming episode, we're going to be working on something that I'm in kind of. The workshop of it is gross stuff.
Yeah.
With regard to keto, and that's something that I've got in an upcoming episode that I'm kind of feeling out, and definitely the bowel movements, bathroom stuff is going to be featured heavily, because there are a lot of things that you don't expect, and I'll save my experience for sure for that one. But what else in the keto flu area did you feel?
That was pretty much it.
Okay.
There's still a lot of, you know. Cotton mouth comes with it, but that wasn't just the keto flu. That kind of continues.
Okay.
It's not, as I've gotten along, you know, as I did it, as I stayed with it, it didn't get quite as bad.
Okay.
When I started taking magnesium supplements and the multivitamins, that helped with some of that as well.
Okay, good.
Strangely enough, so not sure how that's related, but
it's amazing how that stuff kind of plays out.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And the fact that, you know, I have a lot of weight to lose, and so, you know, anytime somebody with as much weight to lose as I do starts on a diet and they stick to it, you're going to try to see a lot of success really quickly.
Yeah.
Because you're dropping water weight and all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I was able to temper the success with, okay, well, that's not necessarily keto. That's, you know, that could just be the fact that you're not eating 5,000 or 6,000 calories a day now.
Yeah.
You know, you're eating less than 2,000. In some cases, I was eating 800 or 900.
Now, on those days, did you feel satisfied with the amount of food that you were eating? And
absolutely, because the rule I kept to was, if you're hungry, eat.
Yeah.
But what I did was, when I felt hungry, I drank some water first, because that was something that jumped out at me, is that a lot of times hunger is your body's way of telling you it's thirsty. It's not the dry mouth. That's extreme thirst.
Right.
The hunger, when you drink, you know, when you're feeling hungry, if you drink, your body's like, oh, okay. Well, that's what I was really looking for.
Okay.
So that kept me from needing to just eat and snack.
Okay.
So, and that, it also not feeling that hunger helped me with, you know, the psychological side of battling that. Because I mentioned in the first episode that a lot of my problem is psychological. It's a food addiction.
Sure.
You know, it's dealing with... I was not this big when we met.
Oh, yeah. I've
never been like this big until, you know, I got a divorce and I hit some, you know, I got into some steep depression and, you know, really, really just battled that for 3 years, 3.5 years.
Right.
And when I finally kind of came out of that, I looked around and went, wow, well, how what did I do?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's just, how do I recover from this? So,
sure.
Feeling, not feeling the hunger physically, helped when the brain would kick in and go, oh, you know, you're feeling a little sad. You should go, you know, grab a Snickers or grab a pizza. That's my thing.
Yeah.
That was always my thing.
So one of the first positive, wins that I remember in our conversations was when you had Giordano's delivered here, I think, to, or
we went out,
or you went out to Giordano's, yeah, and you had a salad.
I did.
And the kids had pizza.
And they did.
And then you had something, I think, that same week where there was pizza that came to the theater, and you were able to walk on by, yep, and didn't even stop. You smelled it and just kept walking.
Yep. It was like, oh, that smells really good, but, you know, I got other things I got to do. So
nice.
And those little victories, those are the kinds of things that you need so that when you have moments of weakness, you can look back at that and go, but you don't really need that, because remember when you were sitting at Giordano's and you were really hungry because before that you had gone to the movies and there's nothing for you at a movie theater?
Right. There's nothing.
Well, we did, because of the new menu at the company I work for now.
Yeah.
We have gluten-free items. We have 7 gluten-free items on the menu. And one of those is Parmesan wisps.
Oh,
so
nice.
We sell bags of Parmesan wisps now. So that's what I got for the movies.
All right.
And a bottle of water.
So, okay. Hey, that works, man.
Yeah. We have the Hillshire Farms small plates as well. So we like to call them adult Lunchables.
Yeah.
But it's salami and cheese. And
hey,
it comes with like the Melba Toast crackers, but you just kind of
toss those aside. Yeah.
And, you know, so there's a few things, but I mean, when you're in a movie theater, it's popcorn.
Right. It is. It's popcorn with the fake butter that is not as good as real butter. Trust me.
Yes.
It's a bunch of candy. The hot dogs probably wouldn't be bad if you can do it without the bun and
ours are all beef Eisenbergs.
Okay.
So they're good. That's something else that I can do. But it's hard when we launched a new menu and now we have like chicken and waffles that are really good.
Wow.
I mean, I thought chicken and waffles, especially the movie thing,
but
it's really good. So,
I may have to add chicken and waffles to my next celebration day, like T2D day, because that was definitely missing.
Being from the South.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, wow, I just lost that train of thought. Where were we?
So tell me a little bit about some of the victories. We talked a little bit about the ones that I remember. Did you have any scale victories?
Sorry, I was drinking. I don't know yet.
Okay.
Because I had gotten so big, I had purchased a Biggest Loser scale.
Okay.
Because I had, you know, when I was first paying attention, like right at the beginning of my divorce, I had gotten too big for a standard scale.
Okay.
I was topped like 350 pounds.
Right.
So I bought a Biggest Loser scale.
Okay.
And then I went into the 2-year funk, and when I came out of it, I stepped on the Biggest Loser scale, and that gave me an error message. So you're talking about a 450-pound weight limit. So there's, you know, I tell people that when it's come up and they're like, you're not. And I'm like, yeah, I am.
See, I would have never guessed that you were above 450.
Yeah, yeah. There's a distinct possibility I was clipping 500.
Okay.
So I don't know about scale victories yet. I'm waiting to step on that
and not get the error message.
Yeah, that first day that I don't get the error message is going to be a huge victory day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because then I can really see I have to guesstimate now kind of where I'm at based on clothes, you know.
All right. So clothes generally mean a non-scale victory. What do you have in that department?
It took me about a week and a half to have to go buy a new belt.
Okay.
So,
hey, that's a pretty awesome non-scale victory right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah. And immediately was 3 notches in, you know, within another week. So,
wow.
It was coming off quickly. So that's a big thing. The shirts, the button-down shirts I have to wear for work, always bulged when I sat down around the middle, because that's where I carry most of that weight.
Sure.
It's right around the middle. And, you know, when I start sitting down and that's not bulging, then that's a good feeling. And, you know, being able to, when I put them on, to just feel the looseness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Being able to, you know, bend over to tie a shoe.
Yeah.
is nice.
Yeah.
So we're that's not always the case, but you know, it's there are days when I can get there.
Okay.
So that's a start. Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about some stumbles. What is, like, I remember the first one that we texted about. Share a little bit about what your first stumble after you started keto. It was when you went to Chick-fil-A.
I don't even remember that because honestly, because the big stumble that came after that, it all just kind of, it's like, that would be like saying, you know, you had a beer, you're an alcoholic, and then you had a drink,
yeah,
and then you went on a 3-week bender after that. It's like that first drink. I think I went, I think that's when I went and just got a regular chicken sandwich with the bun, and I went ahead and ate it.
Yeah.
And I think I got the waffle fries. I believe that's
I'm pretty sure. If I look back through the text, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Yeah. And I remember, I remember with that feeling just terrible.
Okay.
After,
now, was that a physical terrible?
Yeah, terrible. It wasn't, you know, I'm an expert at beating myself up over stuff. That's, you know.
Right.
That's just kind of the how you get here. But the physical side of it was just, you can feel the body's reaction to going, what is this? It's almost like, I know that when I first adopted keto, and then after I fell off and came back to it, the days when the body's adjusting, there's a lot of like just tingling I feel and all over, and it's just like, I don't know if that's a withdrawal symptom or if that's the body going yay, or I don't know what it is, but those are just things that, you know, signals and feelings that I'm getting as I do this. So
all right, so you mentioned the big stumble.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about where that, how long it lasted, what it was, like if there was an inciting thing, because, you know, for me, my first 6 months were almost flawless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, aside from things that I planned out as rewards along the way, you know, I just kind of went full bore because I was trying to make sure that I didn't have to take meds for the rest of my life.
Right.
And so, you know, I had a commitment. And I don't know that everybody else is going to have that same thing.
Yeah.
So what was it like? What was that kind of the big stumble? How long did it last?
3.5 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. And what happened in those 3.5 weeks? What kind of, you were going well, you were probably a month in at that point.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was when I was gone on the cruise and I came back. And I sent a text, and I didn't hear any response, and I was a little worried.
Yeah, well, that wasn't avoiding in any way. I think the difference, to back up just a second, is that, you know, you had a doctor say, you've got to take this, you're going to die. You know, I certainly have people all the time, my doctor says, you've got to get physical, you've got to get in shape, you've got to take care of yourself, your health is going to deteriorate. But it's always, your health is going to deteriorate, because I was a guy that would go to the doctor and be, you know, morbidly obese according to medical standards, and my blood pressure is completely fine, and my cholesterol was fine, and everything was fine, and he's just like, you're really healthy, you're just fat, you know, you need to work on that, because it's going to take a toll on your joints. So it's, I didn't have that impending, you are going to die.
Right.
And so there's not that moment of, well, if I do this, there's death.
Yeah.
You know, for me, that's not really going to happen.
It's down the road. Like, those are the same kinds of things that I felt before the diagnosis was, oh, I mean, that's, I can work this off anytime. Yep. I can lose 20 pounds. I can lose 40 pounds here. That's no big deal. I can make that happen.
Yeah. So what happened was that I came home and I just had run out of, I mismanaged the meals, because I did some meal planning.
Yeah.
Because I have to buy stuff and plan for these days when.
Well, they're really long days for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I what I was doing was grabbing bags of salad from, you know, from Walmart or Aldi, grabbing the, you know, the pre-bagged salad mixes. And I have sliced pepperoni, Hormel, that, and shredded cheese. And I use the bottled Olive Garden dressing, Italian dressing, which is pretty low carb.
But yeah.
You know, it's really good. And that's, while I'm here, I take the time and eat half a bag of salad and pepperoni, and you know, that was the meal. And then I'd have something else, like you eat a lot of the protein snacks, the P3s.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
those are pretty big because it's just grab them and go. And
yeah,
Colby Jack cheese squares from Land O'Lakes. I always have a bag of those on hand. So you know, prepping to have those things to take with me, and then. You know, I mismanaged it and ran out, and I was like, oh, I don't have time to do that. I don't have the money to fill this stuff back. I got to wait a few days, so I just have to deal with what I've got, you know.
Right.
And then I look in the cabinets, and it's boxed macaroni and cheese and ramen noodles and, you know, just...
All the tough stuff.
Stuff that, you know, I had a freezer full of stuff I'd gotten from Schwann's that was, you know, chicken fingers and chicken fries and... You know, just that kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, well, that was the point. What should have happened is I should have went, okay, now's the time to experiment with fasting.
Yeah.
You know, and just not eat because you can.
Sure. And absolutely.
That is something during that first month that I noticed. I was surprised at how quickly I found that I could go a day and, you know, if I'm drinking water, I don't even notice that I haven't eaten. Until I go to log my water into MyFitnessPal, and it's like, I haven't eaten anything yet today. So that's what I should have done.
Okay.
But instead, I was like, well, I have to eat. And so, you know, I'll just do this.
Yeah,
I dealt with what was there. And on top of that, there were some personal things that were going on that just things were really building up, and it just kind of everything came and hit.
Okay.
And psychologically, I just didn't handle that well.
Gotcha. You know?
And that was, and so I had the day where I was just like, ugh. And then when I went off book for a meal, then I was like, well, screw it, I'm off book. Let's
go crazy.
And I did.
Okay.
And then, you know, recovering from that with just things that were happening, it just, man, I gave in and I ran with it. I went on a bender and disappeared from my family. Yeah. Figuratively speaking, you know, I just went off the reservation and did not come back for weeks. So when you texted me, it was, you know, just a lot of stuff going on that I was trying to take care of. Because I have the full-time job and I work a part-time job and I've got a couple side projects that I'm building, and those were throwing some pretty heavy demands on me at that time, all needing to be done at once.
Sure.
I'm building a real estate practice. I got a realtor's license 4 months ago, and so I'm working on that, trying to make time to do that as well.
Right.
So I've overburdened myself with things to do.
Yeah.
And it all just kind of hit.
Okay.
At once, at the time when I didn't have anything prepared to be able to say, all right, well, I'm not going to let this part fail. So I pretty much just abandoned the diet and tried to put out all the fires.
All right.
And I finally put out enough of them and started feeling as awful as I was feeling. You know, it finally just said, what are you doing? You know, it's been a month. You were 4 weeks in, and it was you were great, and you were on this path that you could see, you know, so much good coming out of it. And here you are just sabotaging. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
But when I first started thinking that was just that self-sabotage, just feeding in on itself. So
right.
I had to break out of that.
So I've talked about in past episodes abstainers and moderators.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that based on the 3.5-week bender that maybe you need to be an abstainer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I've said that from the get-go. And that was actually something that... back to reading some of the stuff that Kevin Geary's put out, when people ask him about cheat days and his diet, he's like, when an alcoholic is recovering,
they don't
have a day where they have a drink to cheat, because they don't. They have to stay off it. And I've long said pizza's my heroin, and that's, I know that I absolutely have to stay away from it.
Sure.
But it's bread in general for me. But, you know, for me, I just have to... not there's no cheat day for me.
Sure.
You know, I do plan to do, you know, what you've done and
the celebration
plan
stuff.
Those celebrations things, and but those are going to have to be very well planned and very well controlled.
Sure.
You know, so I need to make sure I've set up enough support around me to make sure that if I don't choose to stop, that there's somebody there to go, hey, let's walk away from this and go do something else.
Okay. You know? Well, let me know when your first planned celebration is, and I'll make sure that I'm there.
Yeah, definitely.
So awesome. Well, so we've talked about some of the we've talked about the success you had in the first month. We talked about the stumble you had there in kind of the second month, but you're back on track.
Mm-hmm.
How did it feel getting back on track? Was it as easy, or was it easier, or was it harder than when you first started?
It was easier because I knew what I was doing.
Okay.
I didn't have to have that, you know, that time of what works for me, what's going to work in the schedule.
Yeah.
I have a more knowledge now about what keto is, and you know, I've experimented with cooking different
okay.
things, and so I found, you know, like I cooked one of the keto meat pie, and it took
yeah.
me. It said the prep time was like 45 minutes and the cook time was an hour, and it
okay.
took me like 2.5 hours to make it because
okay.
it's the first I was never good at making homemade crust before anyway,
okay.
and this was the crust on this pie came off the Diet Doctor website.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, you know, almond powder.
Oh, yeah, the almond flour stuff.
Psyllium husk powder.
Right.
And, you know, all this stuff, and I'm like, and then it's like, put it in a food processor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't have a food processor. I have a blender.
Right.
And I have a, you know, a KitchenAid mixer. I could make dough with a dough hook, but this doesn't seem like that's what that I hadn't. And they're like, or you can use a fork if you don't have those things. So I was, my
you were
arm
having
nearly,
to hand.
Oh, my arm nearly
mix
fell
it.
Off.
Sure.
I got it to a point where it's kind of like, okay, well, this is, it's not going to roll out. It's like a like dough. It's a little sticky, but
yeah.
I can certainly coat the pan.
Right.
And it'll get there.
Yeah.
So, the pizza crust that you sent
yeah.
from there is much easier.
Oh, yeah. It's just
so.
Some Parmesan, some
yeah.
eggs, and some Italian seasoning, and boom.
Yeah, you're
you
done.
You pour it on the parchment paper. And yeah, I've made keto pizza so many times.
Yeah.
I love it, and I've experimented. I've made a white pizza with some Alfredo sauce, and it's been fantastic. What are some of your favorite meals that you've been like, this is my go-to? Like, for me, it's bacon and eggs because,
mm-hmm.
like, it's super easy. It's going to take me 20 minutes from start to finish.
Right.
What are some – and, of course, the Frank's Red Hot now is on almost everything because it gives some kick and some flavor.
Sure.
What are some meals that are, like, your go-to?
Well, bacon and eggs is also one of mine just because it's easy.
Yeah.
And as much as I like to cook, and I've always liked to cook, and I'm actually a pretty good cook – I haven't had a lot of time to
sure.
cook, so I have basically 2 nights a week that I can, you know, okay, I'm going to cook.
Yeah.
And then I have to get everything else I need to get done finished and walk into the kitchen and go, okay, am I ready to make a mess and then clean it up? And most of the time that's like, no.
Yeah.
So, but what I did, the meat pie that I made was really good, and
okay.
I really liked it. I particularly liked the filling because the filling called for just hamburger.
Yeah.
And I was making like a double batch of everything because I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to
yeah.
do this right the first time, so let's just make a bunch of it. And so I had a lot of this the filling left over, and it's tomato paste and oregano and
okay.
and you know, Italian seasonings. I only had a pound of ground beef,
mm-hmm.
and it was calling for like a pound and a half. So I had a pound of ground Italian sausage.
Okay.
So I mixed that in with it.
Nice.
And just started, you know, threw that in, and it was garlic and onions that sauteed in the butter, you know,
yeah.
just, and you know, when I tasted that, I was like, this would be a really good filling for a stuffed pepper, like a green pepper.
Yeah.
So I did that. I made that filling again and then put it inside a green pepper.
Okay.
So, you know, onions and green peppers, onions at least I know are root vegetables.
Yeah.
And so you're not really
yeah you know, they're not terrible, and honestly I can't eat enough onions to really have the carbs make a I mean, because not only is there the breath thing, but there's just so much,
right,
like the flavor is so strong. That's not something
yeah.
that I can just really do a lot of.
Yeah, the peppers, I've always loved green peppers.
Okay.
And so, you know, I don't even know if they're where they're at on the spectrum. I have to consult
no
the
clue
page,
yeah,
but it's I can't believe I don't know whether or not they grow above ground or below ground. So
I think they're above. They're a vine.
Yeah. So, but though, you know, you get the colored peppers and slice them up. That's my kids. What my daughter did was took, we had green peppers and orange peppers and red peppers, and we just sliced them up. And so she just took a bowl of that and just started, you know, dipping.
Oh, nice.
Eating like that. And so kind of deconstructed it, diced up the peppers and tossed them in and mixed it up. And
okay.
I, like, you know, just stuff like that.
Yeah.
I found lots of different ways for that just particular thing.
Mm-hmm. It sounds kind of like how when I make tacos.
Yeah.
I just kind of, exactly. You know, I do it all but the shell or right. the tortilla, what, you know, if you do soft ones. So, yeah, I mean, that's I just kind of put it in a bowl.
Yeah. I've been trying to, I've never been somebody who can cook a steak to save my life.
Okay.
So I've multiple times bought steaks and have been,
yeah.
you know, rewatching Gordon Ramsay videos on YouTube about how to cook the steak in a pan.
Right.
I've become... I've had a cast iron pan for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I was just like, these are so terrible to cook. And then I looked at, saw how to care for them.
Yep.
And it's the only thing I use now.
Yeah. When they're seasoned. And yeah.
Yeah. And I actually went out and got like three different sizes. So now I've got a 6-inch, an 8-inch, a 10-inch, and a 12-inch.
Yeah. I did that. Walmart had a special, Walmart.com had a special on a 3-thing of cast iron. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I'd love to try it. This is like, $18.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was reading the reviews and they looked great. And I was like, I'm just going to go for it. And
yeah.
we'll see. I mean, that was my first real experience with cast iron and then, you know, the seasoning and all that. And
yep. It's crazy. When I first saw how to do that, I was like, this seems really complicated and involved.
Yeah.
But then once I started doing it, I'm like, it doesn't take that long.
No.
You know, and just to be able to put a cast iron, I never thought I'd be able to put a cast iron pan under some water and just rub my hand over it and have everything come off.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
so,
that is nuts how that works.
But, so I'm still terrible at steak. I'm still working.
Okay.
you know, right. and I'm looking up different recipes for, like, I love asparagus. And so
okay.
I've been trying to find different ways to cook that. Typically, I bake it with some olive oil and just throw some seasoning on it. Just experimenting with different stuff.
Yeah.
It's really something I'm trying to figure out how to become a better cook in the sense of what do I have? Let's see what we can make.
Sure.
Instead of relying on going to a store. Because when I've planned menus with recipes,
mm-hmm.
I go to the store, and then if I have that day where I'm supposed to make this, and I'm like, I can't, I'm just not
right.
going to do that, and then all of a sudden, all of that stuff, I never make it, and then it's all fresh product, and it goes to waste, and
sure.
it's just, so now when I know I'm going to cook those days, I think of the things I want to make, and I'll stop and buy them the day of, so
okay.
living kind of European, I guess.
All right.
Or I just look at what I've got, and you know, try to keep the pantry just stocked with things that are keto friendly and just make it up as I go.
So, okay.
But I've enjoyed it a lot too. I've liked getting back to cooking. And that's part of the weight loss is I was having problems standing for more than 5 minutes. And now, you know, I can stand in the kitchen and cook for a half an hour.
Right.
45 minutes.
That's an awesome non-scale victory for sure.
Absolutely. So, and especially at work, you know, being able to, you know, walk for paces.
Well, I mean, in a building that's the size of the one you work in, I mean, you're at almost 100,000 square feet. That's a lot of walking that I would think that you would.
It is. And I used to walk it, like, you know, during the 7 o'clock rush. You know, you'd get up at 6. You'd be out on the floor at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Customers, and you'd be walking the theaters and doing theater checks, and you wouldn't stop until 9 o'clock.
Right.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
You know, some nights it was I didn't stop until we locked the doors. And I got to a point where it was 10 minutes and I was having to stand at the customer service window and leaning on the ledge because my back was starting to hurt. And I just
sure.
couldn't, you know, and now it's not there. You know, I don't have that problem. I was able to go back and hop on a cash register and run in the concession stand for an hour. And that was unheard of. 4 months ago?
Yeah.
In August, we had our training for our new menu,
mm-hmm.
and it was probably 4 hours of standing and learning the different recipes and learning all this stuff, and I couldn't. I literally had to just, at one point, go, I gotta take a break and go stop, so it was really frustrating.
I bet.
So.
What are some of the things that you've kind of discovered that you wish you'd known? I know that we've had a lot of text conversations when you've had questions and things like that, but was there something that, you know, gosh, Brett, I wish you'd said something about this, or I wish I'd read something about this, and I encountered it, and I just wasn't, I didn't know how to handle it?
I don't know if there's a good answer for that, because okay. I don't feel like I've had that.
Okay.
Just because, you know, you've been so clear and open about how you do it, and the fact that you're a lazy ketoer.
Yeah, like to totally say. Lazy ketoer.
And that's part of the thing I think that has lent to the success for me, is that so many diets that you try and so many of these things require so much work and effort, and
yeah.
it's like you have to do this, or it all comes crashing down on itself. And to be able to attempt just starting out of nowhere this keto diet, and having those days where I'm not quite getting there,
mm-hmm.
and then to just sit back and go, oh yeah, but it doesn't have to be perfect. It
right.
doesn't have to be this. I'm coming pretty darn close, and based on where I was, this is a massive improvement, and it is helping.
Awesome.
You know, and so as I've gone along, what I'm trying to do is read more about it and have okay. a better understanding of even the science behind it and how your body is reacting. You know, that's,
it's amazing to me that became a fascination of mine too, was mm-hmm. understanding the science behind it, because I saw that it was working, but I wanted to know why. And then I call it my nerdy health stuff, where I'll find something and then I'll kind of go down that rabbit hole of all the things that mm-hmm. are somewhat related, and then I end up in a completely different world when yeah. it comes to health stuff. But it all started with, well, how does this affect me now? And then it just kind of trails.
Right. And it's very similar to, like, I keep going back to Kevin Geary and his program. But,
yeah.
I mean, I really got into that. And one of the things that he advocated was you doing a lot of, like, blood testing. Like,
okay.
testing all of your markers. Because, and that system had you, the first month was very strict because it was detox.
Yeah.
And it went very core. And then you'd add something back in, and you tested and see, and it was all about seeing how your body reacted to that.
Okay.
Because every person's body's different and
yeah.
reacts differently. So as you introduce those things back in, you know, like if you find out whether or not you have a gluten intolerance, or whether you have you can't have dairy.
Yeah.
You find those things out and doing that, and you so that way when you're on the diet, you know, when you are, you know, out and about, you know that if I eat that, this is how my body's going to react.
Yeah.
It's not about, well, the diet says I can't have this. It's about knowing your body.
Yeah.
And knowing how that's going to react. And so for me, that's what I've been trying to apply that to this, and just see, okay, now that I have a good grasp of what I should be eating, now let's see what things are work better than others from a time standpoint, from a prep standpoint, and from a results standpoint.
Yeah.
And the other thing I've been really trying to do now that I'm into it and have a pretty solid basic understanding is improve the quality of the food I'm eating.
Yeah.
Because if, like I said, when I first started, it was all on the go, fast food, drive through, stuff. It's all processed.
Yeah.
You know, and I've long been an advocate of not having a lot of processed garbage.
Right.
So finding those things that are convenient and quick that fit the keto and yeah. not processed.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of pepperoni right
yeah.
now because
sure.
there's a lot of that. It's quick and easy, and you can grab it, and it's good. You know, but you know, I want to make sure that the hamburger I'm getting, I want it to be grass fed.
Yeah.
You know, grass finished, and I have used, and I don't use Land O'Lakes butter. I use the Kerrygold.
Oh yeah.
You know, just things that the quality of the product is better. So, and the nice thing is the fact that I'm not eating out, you know, 2 to 3 times a day every week. And I have
sure.
the money to be able to go, yeah, I can pay, you know, a little more for a better brand of butter, or a better
yeah.
quality of meat than, you know.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the thing where you can go to Whole Foods instead of going to Meijer to
right.
get your stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, not that Meijer's bad, but
yeah. Meijer was always a great place because they do have a lot of, they were one of the early ones that was the first place I was able to find Kerrygold on the shelf was
yep.
at Meijer. So God bless Meijer, Walmart.
Hey, man, they're awesome. I'm a big fan of Meijer. Love Aldi with a lot of the stuff that they've done, and
they're all organic now.
Yeah,
like all of their
everything.
They're really good. People, when I grew up, Aldi was that was the poor kids.
Yeah,
that was where we got a lot of stuff. And if you had Aldi brand at school, you were like,
yeah.
And now it's Aldi, man. I choose to go there before anywhere else. Okay. The only time I go somewhere else is if I know my schedule is really crazy,
right?
And I'll order my groceries through the Walmart app.
Okay,
pick it up.
Okay, because
you know they've got the pickup now,
right?
So, I can plan it out and go. I need to pick this. I need to have this, but I've got to work until this. So, and then I got to pick up the kids. So I'll just have that, and that's on the way. And I'll set my pickup time at this, and it's convenient. So
what is something that maybe we haven't talked about that you would want somebody who's considering joining us on this journey to know?
Do it.
Okay.
you should just know that it's not as complicated or as hard as you think it may sound to you.
Okay.
You know, anytime somebody talks about starting a new diet, starting a different way of eating or whatever, a new lifestyle, it may sound complex. And when you talk about, oh, we've got to keep our carbs down, you got to track carbs and fat and all this, it sounds a lot more complicated than it really is, than it really has to be. What I find difficult is the biggest difficulty I find now is when I'm at home cooking,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how to track my macros because I don't know how to figure out the macros.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that's something like tapping into a friend's Weight Watchers account. They have a thing where you can put your recipe in and uh-huh. it'll tell you the calories and
okay.
kind of give, but you have to subscribe. To
right.
that. So, you know, if you have a way to access that's
sure.
that's my biggest thing is how do I, you know, when I'm cooking these, especially when I'm freestyling, and
yeah.
I'm trying to just, okay, so how do I track this?
Right.
So in those cases when I know right now all I'm doing is trying to make sure that whatever I'm eating is just, I know it's okay.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to be able to track the macro itself. And if I go a little over, I'm not going to blow it up, you know? So I'm willing to take that risk because I'm trying this out. But that's probably the biggest challenge I'm having right now from what I'm trying to do is to be able to track that on something without a barcode.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have any suggestions for that.
Honestly, I used Fat Secret mm-hmm. instead of MyFitnessPal for
okay.
the tracking. And basically what I would do is I would scan the barcodes of the items that I was putting together.
Yeah.
And base it on the, you know, figure out the servings. And,
yeah.
and it's not as clean
yeah.
as maybe the Weight Watchers thing, but it worked.
It's about the same.
It's about the same, and it worked for me, and that's kind of how I did it.
The first recipe that I did that on the Weight Watchers website
yeah.
Was funny looking at how many calories it said and how, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, you should only, you know.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have like a lot of this because it's
good. Awesome. Well, Paul, I want to thank you so much for coming back and sharing the journey that you're on and kind of giving people who are just getting started, who may have even been inspired by the first episode that you were on. Hopefully this kind of gives them a glimpse that's different from, you know, how myself or my friend Anna, who was on episode 4, you know, how, you know, just there are different perspectives because everybody is going to be different.
Right.
And I want to thank you for coming on again and kind of giving us a progress update. And I can't wait to have you on again so we can tout some of those scale victories.
Yeah.
Because I really am looking forward to the first one. And I know the first scale victory will be when you're able to step on and knock at the air.
I'm able to see what it says.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think actually last night my son is 14 and he, you know, I've done him a huge disservice throughout his life in teaching him the complete wrong things to do when it comes to eating.
Mm-hmm.
I see so much of myself in him.
Okay.
And he struggles with weight right now. I mean, he's lost a little because he was in marching band.
Okay.
So that's helped getting
right.
him physical because that's not an easy thing.
Definitely
know,
not.
That's intensive. But we were last night, you know, we were talking about the diet, and he said can I? I want to try this because I want to lose. So, what I'm right now doing is I'm trying to find information on, is this good for kids? And what kind of things do you have to watch out for? Because that's a different animal,
right? Because they're
still growing.
They're growing, exactly right.
So I gotta, you know, that's where I'm at right now. And then I have to clear with his mom, and that's gonna be.
Sure.
He's also only with me part-time, so doing keto 3.5 days and non-keto 3.5 days, that'll be interesting as well. So I've got some logistics to work out with that, but, you know, that may be something we talk about in the future as well.
Awesome. I'd love to.
You know, if I get some success with him, then... That'll make me feel really good to feel like I'm finally setting a good example when it comes to.
And it may just be that you need to set the example, and he'll follow suit on his own and figure it out on his own and come to you for when he has questions and things like that.
Yeah,
I mean, that was kind of how I did it with, you know, when I got started. I just jumped in, and kind of like you, I asked the questions as it happened. So, well, thanks again, Paul. I really appreciate it. I know that the listeners are going to appreciate getting to hear an update on how things are going, and I'm sure that we'll have you on again.
Definitely. I feel like the mascot. It's a beautiful feeling.
Awesome. Awesome. Have a great day, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at wearelibertarians.com.